Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Too. I think with the Gladiators quote, that's the way we should start the podcast. Hello, welcome to Ready Player 2, episode 43. We missed one, didn't we? 41 we missed, so we're now doing 43. As you can tell, I am not Rich, I'm Ross, I'm in the host's chair, and joining me, as always, we have Elle all the way from Wales. Hello, Elle.
Yay!
You alright?
No, not too bad.
Good, good. And as always, Lewis. Lewis, you're here, hello.
Hello.
I was supposed to think up some clever intro, but I completely forgot. And joining us is our special guest this week. And as you may know from the Attitude podcast, Attitude Era podcast, he is undoubtedly the baddest man on the planet. It's Mr. Billy Keeble. Welcome, sir.
Hello. It's nice that that nickname has caught on to other podcasts.
Yeah, well, it's only ever associated with Mike Tyson, isn't it? So you're clearly the next in line.
Well, yeah, quite possibly.
So welcome to the Ready Player 2 podcast. We drafted you in as a replacement for Rich. Rich is on his holidays in France, is it, I think?
France.
Making paper...
Clearly doesn't show enough dedication to the podcast.
Yeah, I know, taking holidays. Outrageous.
To be fair, Elle phoned from the middle of fucking Disneyland, so...
Yeah.
I did. I was practically sat on Mickey's lap.
Yeah.
Practically.
We couldn't use that podcast. It was awful quality, but apart from that, the effort was there.
10 out of 10 for effort.
Exactly. So let's begin with what we normally begin with then, our what we've been up to section. And as you're our guest, Billy, we'll start with you. What have you been up to this week? What games you've been playing? Podcasts you've been doing?
Mostly this week I've been trying to do the Last of Us on Grounded.
Okay.
Which is the most difficult thing I've ever done. And I'm very far into it just yet.
Right.
I've also been playing The Walking Dead Season 1, The Telltales, for the very first time.
Oh, really?
I'm only on Episode 2 now. Ooh. But I'm really, really enjoying it. I'm not used to the whole point-and-click type of game, but I'm really enjoying it so far. And then I'm also, because I've always been a PlayStation owner, I've been, my girlfriend's brother introduced me to the first Halo game.
Oh, wow.
For the first time. So I've played my first ever Halo game, so I've completed the first one now. So I've played that for the first time.
What did you think of that?
It was alright.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a purist, so we don't watch... We had the remastered version, but we played it with the old graphics.
Oh, wow.
We shunned the prettiness.
Yeah, for the old...
What's the point in owning the remastered version if you're going to play it with crappy graphics?
His version was broken, his original version.
Right, okay.
It's cheaper to get a remaster than find somewhere the original version.
How are you getting on with The Walking Dead? Are you invested in the characters yet? Because it's one of the most emotional games any of us have ever played.
Yeah, I keep thinking that this it's going to end with something horrific. I don't... How it's gonna end.
And you'd be right.
Everyone's going to die. And they die a horrible, horrible death.
Yeah, most of them. Most of them probably will die a horrible, horrible death.
Basically.
Yeah. Just don't listen to our earlier podcast because Lewis does spoil the end of season one. but not tonight.
Not tonight.
Not so much spoil as
ruin.
Foretell.
All right, Lewis, I think we're going to move on to you because you've got some quite interesting games in your what you've been playing this week.
I have been boogieing on down to Just Dance 4 and Just Dance 2014, which, no word of a lie, are probably the most fun games I have ever played.
Yeah, they are excellent.
I've been playing them on the Wii U with Hazel every now and again, and they are absolutely brilliant. Striding my stuff to Living La Vida Loca and the Final Countdown by Europe. Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Great work.
Love them both.
How knackered are you after playing them?
Very. Like, I have to sit down in between every song. I have to have I have to prepare for it.
Yeah.
So I have to move all the furniture out, like, to the walls in the front room. Move the cot. In fact, we even moved the front room round so I could play it more often, so I didn't have to move the front room round later on. So we've moved the coffee table out. So we've moved the coffee table out of the way, and we've moved the sofas back out a little bit. We put a rug on the floor in the front room.
Yeah,
and it's just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So much fun. But yeah, I've got to have like a glass of water, towel, because I swear to God, it just gets so hot and sweaty, especially in our flat, and which is pretty gross to say on the podcast, but whatever.
it's not the worst thing that's been said on this podcast, you're fine.
No.
Yeah, there's a lot of this.
And then just in between every song, I have to have a little sit down, a little cry about how I am.
A long cigarette.
Well, I don't smoke anymore. I do have an e-cigarette. I saw a couple of puffs on my e-cigarette, and then I'm all good to go.
Excellent.
And then it's rinse and repeat.
Are you feeling the benefits?
Not really. I don't play it often enough.
All right.
So, because the first night I bought and played it, I was just laying in bed afterwards, after I'd had like a shower. Just laying in bed, like, I have muscles that hurt that I didn't even know I had.
You get really invested in it, especially after you've had a drink.
Well, the thing is you only have to move your hand to do the dance moves, but there's me, like,
full on
kicking, going for it, moving my legs, doing the Everybody Wants Somebody to Love from the Blues Brothers.
Jailhouse
Rock. Rock Lobster. Oh, brilliant.
Oh, Rock Lobster!
Exactly. And 2014, you can sing along with it as well, so you get extra points if you sing along.
Oh, excellent.
Fortunately, I live on a ground floor flat, but I think my parents hate me. So, yeah.
Excellent. And what is the reason that you've been playing these games? There's an ulterior motive, isn't there?
Yeah. Myself and a fellow Twitterer, who is currently at Gamescom and has just met the Big Show.
Oh, wow.
Can I just point out? So, yeah, who's at Gamescom in Cologne promoting 2K15.
Yes.
But, we are maybe more than likely going to end up having a dance-off at Eurogamer.
Hell to the yeah!
So, yes, that will be both interesting and devastatingly embarrassing.
Elle, I can't make you a gamer, so please record this.
Can I be the tag team partner?
Yes, you can. You can be...
Fuck yeah, let's bring this. Let's bring the rain!
For duets, you can be my dance partner.
Hells yeah.
There we go. So that's why I've been playing Just Dance. It's opened my eyes to an entire new genre of dancing game that I otherwise would have completely dismissed. Mm.
Well, if that isn't enough reason to get you to go to Eurogamer, if you weren't already going, then you better be buying tickets right now.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucking hilarious.
And, as I said earlier, just the most embarrassing thing I probably would have ever done in public.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Until we do another live podcast.
Until we do another live
podcast. Oh, my God. And I'll get my drink on.
Anyway, where else have you been playing this?
probably one for L. I've been playing on Steam that was suggested. A little while ago, playing Monument Valley. Very good. Put out a tweet just asking for recommendations of other similar games. So there were a couple that came up, which is Back to Bed. Comes out already out on Steam, comes out on iOS and Android in a couple of weeks. And the other one is The Bridge, which is only available on Steam. And it is absolutely brilliant. It's a mind-bending kind of... It's all sketched out.
Yeah.
Or the art style is very sketchy. It's all in grayscale and black and white and all that. And then, it's... You have to move the map to be able to move and to move your character about. And, yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Oh, cool.
So, one worth checking out if you like puzzle games.
Are you much of a PC gamer, Billy? Sorry, Liz.
That's right.
I've played on... PCs before, but no, my computer is far too old and far too terrible to maintain any video game experience.
It's an expensive hobby for PC game.
My PlayStation and my Wii U.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, you got a Wii U as well?
Yeah, I got that for Christmas.
Does it get much use?
It gets a couple of things. I'm a big fan of Lego City Undercover.
Oh, yes.
And Sonic Racing Transformed.
Oh, we are big fans.
Yeah.
Which is a game racing. Which is.
I do love Sonic Racing Transformed. That is
it's great.
Lot.
It's great and terrible at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like fast food. You know it's bad for you, but you just can't stop.
Yeah. Who needs Mario Kart? I got Sonic.
And Lewis, you got one other game you've been playing?
New Super Mario Brothers. You not played it before? It was the free game that I got with Mario Kart 8. Oh, it's cool. Alright. It's a Mario game.
Yeah.
Not much else you can say about it. Fairly it's standard. A Mario game. Yeah.
Alright, cool. Elle, what have you been doing?
I've been playing Hunger Shark on my iPhone.
And this is?
It's actually really, really fun.
Hungry Shark.
You play Hungry Shark, yeah. You play as a shark. You start off with like a small reef shark.
Right.
And you've got to eat all the things. Just all the things. Because you're a little reef shark, you can't eat like bigger things than you, so things like manta rays, they'll fuck you up. But basically it's just one of those games that eats up your time when you're going in on a commute. This is really fun. It's really fun because I've been commuting and this is what's been taking up my time because I quite enjoy being a shark and eating people, especially swimmers. Because it's great when you jump out of the water and go onto the beach. Ah, gnaw all their legs off. No, I'm like, you thought you're safe on land. You were wrong. Ah.
Now, forgive my... Well, don't forgive me at all. Don't you, like, hate fish with a passion? Yeah. Aren't you afraid of fish and possibly the water? I don't know if I made the water bit up.
I am the shark. I am the shark in this game. Like, it's fine because I am there killing the fish. I feel in control. If it's things like Monster Hunter Try where the thingy is in the water with me and I feel like the person and the fish is swimming at me to eat me, that's when I start freaking out.
Right, okay. Cool.
And I have to,
I'm glad we clarified that then.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Or, you know... In Skyrim, where they're looking at me from the water, and I can sense it, you know. Anyway, so it's actually really fun. It is a whole lot of fun. It is amazing.
I'm just looking at it. It looks very similar to Feeding Frenzy on the Xbox, which you start as a small fish.
And you work your way up.
Yeah, as you get bigger, you can eat the bigger fish.
Yeah, there's like a great white, and then after it, there's like the really massive shark from like prehistoric times. I want to be that shark. Eventually, one day, maybe I'll grow into that shark.
Yeah.
I've also been playing Robot Unicorn Attack again because it is a beautiful, beautiful game.
I remember this.
Also because my unicorn has flame detailing, which is badass. And you can also like buy songs,
right.
So you can. You can also like change the background music to what you're playing to. I've been rocking out at the moment, but I've also been rocking out to it
playing it while listening to Tenacious D, because why wouldn't you? Like, it's just an explosion of awesome.
To Erasure, if I'm playing Robot Unicorn to Gag, I'm flipping for you. Once I hear that, open your eyes, I'm like, yes, I'm there.
Oh, take me home. And I was a bit down in the week. So when I don't feel very good, I'll generally tend to pick like a really like a game that will really draw me in, that I can be really invested in.
Yeah.
Journey, I'm just gonna say, is fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
I know I've ranted on about this one before, but seriously, if you're ever feeling down or blue, or you don't feel well, put this on. Like, seriously, sit down, give it a couple of minutes, and you'll start to lose yourself in it.
Mm.
And it's one of the most beautiful fucking games I've ever played. Like, I was just there like, oh my god, look at the sand! There's this one bit where I was like almost in tears because of how beautiful it was. Where you're kind of gliding on golden sand when the sun is setting in these like ruins and these dunes. Fucking amazing.
Mm.
There is one thing that really got me though, which really pissed me off, which is the flying shark thingies, which eat your scarf, which is...
That's not a euphemism.
That context is so peculiar.
This is bullshit. Basically, you're a little person. There is no dialogue, so you kind of have to piece the story together from the little cinematics and also the secret drawings that you find.
Yeah.
You're a person on this kind of pilgrimage, on this journey. There's this mountain in the background with this light, and you're constantly moving towards it. So you're getting close to the light in the top of the mountain. Tell a lie, I did cry, because there's a bit at the end where the little person's like walking through the snow and is really struggling. You can see him freeze, and I'm like, no, little dude, you can do it! but he has like a little scarf, and each time you pick up like these special light orb things,
right,
your scarf grows, and it enables you to jump longer, further, for more time. It's fucking amazing. Like, for a game which doesn't have any dialogue, it's just beautiful. It is a beautiful game. And the way, like, everything's done, so you get like things are kind of decorated the same way you are. So you've got like little ticket things, which kind of remind me of like tiny baby carpets from Aladdin.
Right.
Like, if carpet had babies, they'd look like these. They're like tiny little tickets. And you can kind of your character can make sounds when you press, like, I think it's the square button or something, to like call the little tickets to them.
Yeah.
And like it'll restore your scarf, and they'll also like pull you up into the air, which is really cool. And you have bigger ones which kind of look like manta rays kind of flying in the sky. And you have massive ones which look like whales, and ones which look like jellyfishes. Like, it's amazing. I just, if you ever feel down, just play this game, because it is batshit insane and beautiful.
Yeah, sounds it.
It is amazing. It just makes me happy. And also, because everyone's been banging on about, gonna play the new Last of Us, so I went, fuck you guys, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna play the old one, so screw it. Which is just as good as I remember, you know?
Yeah.
Cry every time.
You played through it once already?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I know.
Fair enough. Well, I have been doing my usual NBA 2K14, just biding my time till 15 comes out now. My new regular, I've been playing Minecraft again. Only single player though, because our multiplayer server got shut down.
No.
Many sads. That was much. Many tears there. Very unhappy. I bought my wife the Lego Movie game for the Xbox One. Very good fun, actually. Apart from hearing everything is awesome every 6 minutes or so. That's...
Answer this.
It's awesome.
It is, yeah. It just gets on your nerves, but that's when you get all the studs on the level, like the true Jedi or true adventurer, it's everything is awesome, apparently, now. So it's good. It looks brilliant on Xbox One. It's real. Obviously, you can't do much with it. It's Lego graphics, but it looks incredible. next gen, current gen, new gen. And I've also been trying out that EA Access thing that we talked about on our last podcast. It's very good. Ooh. You get the option to sign up for the pricing structure is incredible. $3.99 a month or £20 for the entire year, one-off payment. And I think it updates every month. The first month, the four games you get to play, download and keep and play as long as you've got subscribed, are FIFA 14, Madden 25, Peggle 2 and Battlefield 4. You just sign up and you download them and that's it. You can play them. Very similar to PS Plus, I assume. Lewis, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds pretty similar. Mm. I think the only thing, because we were talking about this earlier in the week, yeah. I think the only slight difference is that you get early access to upcoming games, don't you? As opposed to games that have been out for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, however long.
Yeah, so from the, I think it's the 20th, I'll be able to download and play Madden 15 for 5 days before the game actually is released. But once the game's released, it'll be unavailable for me to play until it comes out, probably in 6 months' time on EA Access, download and play. But
right, okay.
I think that's good. And also, every month, the games that are on there don't disappear. They stay, so it's an ever-expanding library. So
that's pretty cool.
I think that's really good, yeah. So if someone signs up in a year, they'll be able to download FIFA 14, Battlefield 4, etc., etc. So
yeah,
pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Mm. Although I've been seeing people having problems with the Battlefield. I still want you to actually buy the game once you've downloaded it, which I've not tried yet, but I'll give that a go and report back next time.
Cool.
That's all of our things we've been doing this week. Our news is massively dominated by Gamescom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huge
event.
There
are a couple of bits and pieces that have come out of it, but as with E3, I think if you're that bothered about the Gamescom news, you're one, either already know, or two, you can go and find it yourself.
Exactly.
Because it's pretty much all over the internet.
Yeah.
I'll pop some links up later for kind of overviews of each of the conferences.
Yeah, I think it's Joystick, isn't it? They've got a good little, just a roundup of everything that's happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, lots of games, it seems, which is the outcome from what I've taken from it. More games.
More games.
Which is good. And Goat Simulator on Xbox One. Can't wait.
Yeah!
So what other bits of news have we got then? There's one that Billy will be interested in, I believe. WWE Supercard announced for iOS and Android.
What's this? I've not heard of this.
It's brilliant.
Go on, Lewis.
It's basically like, I don't know if you're a card gamer, so like Magic, The Gathering, that sort of game.
Hello.
Hearthstone. But right. It's almost in. It's just WWE Superstars, so you can you basically play through exhibitions. So it's like a 1v1 with three different rounds. Then you can do King of the Ring, which is an online tournament. So you basically pick your cards, and then they play through each of the rounds automatically. So you don't need to be physically involved with it. You can level up your cards. You can train them with common cards. You get different kind of levels of cards. So you get rare, common, uncommon, legend, so on and so forth. Nice. Yeah, it's pretty good, actually. I've never been a massive card gamer, but...
neither have I, but that sounds quite cool.
Yeah, it's available for iOS and Android. I've been playing it on my iPad, and it's absolutely brilliant.
It's free to play. Is there any sort of?
There are in-app purchases, but they're not intrusive.
Okay.
It doesn't stop you from playing the game by
making you wait.
Yeah, you don't have to wait. You can just go through and kind of fight, as it were, other players with your cards. So. Yeah, and you unlock cards every round, so you can get new cards, you can train other cards, and you actually do, like, moves and stuff.
Yeah.
So the cards come into the ring with a little intro, and they do different moves and whatnot. Yeah, it's quite entertaining. It's a good kind of
time wasted.
You don't spend too long on it.
Yeah.
So
if somebody has a John Cena card, do they automatically win?
No, they don't. I've beaten plenty of John Cena's, so although I do have satisfying. John Cena in my deck.
It's better than real life.
Yeah, so let's just have a little quick look. Yeah, so for instance, I've got Jimmy Uso, Shawn Michaels, Yokozuna, David Otunga, and Samurai. In my deck at the moment. Yeah, and they all work together, so they have different kind of attributes. So if you put two cards together in a tag match, if they've got the same attributes, you get a bonus. If they've got different attributes, then you lose a bonus, or you get penalized for it, as it were. So yeah, it's worth checking out.
Yeah,
it's one of those games that I like to call a toilet game. You sit on the toilet and play it.
Yeah, it sounds
yeah.
I think it is, yeah. Elle, do you want to tell us about how the Payday developers are announcing a Walking Dead game?
I don't know how excited I am about this.
What?
Okay, so a Walking Dead co-op game, first-person shooter from Payday 2 developers. I really don't know how I feel about that. Just because it's got the potential to be really fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But
it could go the way of Survival Instinct and be utter pack.
See, this is the thing, because The Walking Dead, for me, when I played Telltale's one, I got really emotionally invested in it. And now I know that it's just going to be, I don't know, I'm feeling really torn. Also, with these kind of games where I do get emotionally invested in, I don't want to fucking share it with a friend. Let's just go and have a cry together. Nah, let's not do that. I think it will be quite fun. I do think that they'll probably be like, nah, let's just make it fun, because I don't know, it'll probably turn out to be just another first person shooter, and we'll all forget about it, and that'll be that. That's basically
I didn't
what
I did the trailer for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't trust these things.
One, I never trust trailers anymore, but what I can trust is Robert Kirkman turning up at the end of the trailer saying, you know what, this is the game you guys need.
Mm.
Yeah, but,
I thought most Walking Dead fans were pretty content with the Telltale games.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does say here that Kirkman, it says, co-op actions that game co-op action game fans have been waiting for. So, and they're actually working in development with Skybound, which is Robert Kirkman's development company. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know about anyone else, but
it's going to be Survival Instinct, but better.
Yeah.
From the sound of it, it's going to be the exact same format of Survival Instinct. It's just Kirkman's going to have a lot more say in it.
Yeah, Survival Instinct was a clever idea. It just Activision just shipped it out as quick as they could to make some money off of it, didn't they, while it was still a thing.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, of course, I don't know about anyone else, but I'm starting to get a little bit oversaturated with The Walking Dead.
First-person shooters.
even just first-person shooters. But, I mean, you've got the Telltale game, Survival Instincts, and it's just... Then you've got the TV series, the comic books. It's starting to get a little bit kind of, you know...
They're trying to monopolize every market because they've got the novels as well, haven't they?
Yeah, and I think it's in good hands with Overkill because of what they did with the Payday series. But I don't know. Not sure. Can't really say too much until it comes out, really.
No, we'll keep a lookout for that. It's on, is it PS4 and Xbox One?
Yeah. Presumably. And possibly on PC.
PC as well, yeah. Okay. Billy, as you said, you're a PlayStation man. Can you tell us about Sony's PlayStation TV?
Yes, we have a date. Ooh. For PlayStation TV coming to the UK. That's going to be on the 14th of November.
Okay.
collection has already been released as well. That's $84.99. Not entirely sure what that's going to include, though, because for a TV service on a console, that does strike me as quite expensive.
Mm.
But I still don't know what exactly they're going to include on it. But I don't know if that's going to be original content. I know that Microsoft are developing original content.
The thing about the PSTV, because I mean, I was quite excited and a bit gutted when they announced that it wasn't going to be coming over here to the European regions when they announced it late last year.
Yeah.
But the whole idea behind it is the fact, I mean, you're supposed to be able to stream games to it. You can play, I think it's up to 1,000 titles.
Yeah.
From PlayStation now, you'll be able to use stuff like Netflix and other sort of systems like that on it.
Right.
I think you can play digital games on it as well, because it does say that the more expensive pack is expected to come with a DualShock 3 HDMI, 8GB memory card, and a copy of the Lego Movie digital game. So...
It's basically a Vita for the house.
Sorry?
Isn't it basically...
It's essentially just a mini games console.
Yeah, basically. When it is released, you're supposed to be able to do everything with it that you can do with the Vita.
Mm.
So you can play, like, PS1 games. You can play the PlayStation Now games when they get released next year. Or when PlayStation Now is released next year, you can, as I say, you can do the Netflix and all that sort of stuff with it. So, I was talking about this on Twitter with a couple of guys the other day who are massive fans of the Vita. They should have just spent the time and money in that they put into developing this, into just developing a dock for the Vita that you can connect a PS3 pad to or a DualShock 3 controller to and plug it into your TV and do everything off that.
Mm.
This just seems
that's
like...
That's what people want, so they're not going to do that.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, this just seems like another device that you have to have plugged into your TV if you've already got about 50 million other devices plugged in. So, yeah, I'm not as excited about it as I was previously.
No.
No, I think it's just a cash in, to be honest.
It's an odd price, isn't it? It's not something that you think, as 85 quid, that's nothing, I'll go try it out. It's £85.
Well, that's just for the basic console, so you don't actually get stuff like a memory card, you don't get, alright, HDMI cables, pretty negligible.
It's not real life microtransactions, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, chances are you get like...
unless you buy all these handy little things.
Yeah. Chances are, if you buy one, you've already got a PS3 or a PS4, so you can use a DualShock. You already have a pad with it anyway. So, yeah, not sure. Don't think it's really worth the money.
No, we'll see. We'll wait till someone gets it, and then we'll get them on to talk about it. Too much they enjoy it. Any other news we've got this week?
No, not really.
No, I think that's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay. Should we have a quick look at the charts and anything that's upcoming? Is there anything upcoming really that we care about?
Not particularly. I had a quick look through and I started putting them into the upcoming releases, and then I thought that there was not much point because I'd not heard of any of them.
No, I saw that this was one.
Yeah, there was one that made me chuckle, which was called Ho Ho Come. a Christmas themed porn.
All right, well, the charts then. You got The Last of Us Remastered, that's number one this week, followed by Minecraft and Minecraft 360 and PS3, then Tomodachi Life, is that how you say that?
Tomodachi Life,
yeah
it's all right.
It's on 3DS. FIFA 14 somehow is in the number five. Odd. Then the Lego Movie video game, Watch Dogs, Watch Dogs, Mario Kart, and GTA. So no... Only one next-gen game in the top 10 there.
No real games there.
No real games there.
It surprises me that the the longevity for Mario Kart's waned pretty quickly, to be fair.
Lots
of people were all like, yeah, it's the best game ever, and now it's only just above GTA 5, which has been out for nearly a year.
It's getting a re-release as well in the GTA next month or the month after. Billy, you have a Wii U? Do you have Mario Kart 8?
I don't have Mario Kart yet, no. I've got my Sonic game.
Fair enough. Oh, yes, yeah, sorry.
That's good, my friend. Yes, that's good.
Okay. Well, that's pretty much it for our first section. That's quite a short one for us. See what happens in Rich, isn't it? We save time.
We're done by 9 o'clock.
We stick to the times, you know?
Yeah, we'll see what's on there. Right, okay, we'll be back in a minute then with... I'll tell you what, should we do a quick round of our random name game? We've got time, haven't we?
Yes.
All right, we're back with a quick game, and then we'll do some community questions. Bear with us.
The Rock can't believe this little Rudy Puccioni has stolen all The Rock's signature moves.
He walks like The Rock. He talks like The Rock.
He's got the Rock bottom, the people's elbow, the people's eyebrow.
That's gimmick infringement.
That ain't right.
He's even got the millions and the millions of The Rock's fans playing this video game.
The Rock, know your role and shut your mouth.
Over 50 WWF superstars, all their signature moves and talks, plus entrances, cage matches, and create a wrestler. WrestleMania 2000.
You like pancakes?
Okay, and we are back, and because we've not really taken up too much of your time so far, we're going to sneak in a quick round of the random name game. As always, I'm the host of this, so I don't have to play, thankfully. So who would like to go first? I'd like to nominate Earl, actually, to be honest.
What? I always go first.
You know, I think the new guy goes first.
Oh, okay. We're going to have Billy go first then.
All right, then.
We'd leave Elle to last because she tends to descend into madness, actually, towards the end. So. Okay, then, Billy. Your first name, and your only name, we're going to do one round, and your 60 seconds will start as soon as I've said the name, is the Undead Chicken Nightmare.
Oh my god, yeah.
I can imagine this would be a next-gen title. It would be much in the vein of something like Dead Island, but it'd be in a more rural setting.
Right.
So it'd be like, you know, Dead Barnyard. We find our character, you know, he's his car's, you know, run out of petrol on the road. I can imagine this being, you know, like the American Midwest.
Yeah.
You know, like, somewhere like Arkansas, the middle of absolutely nowhere, and all you can see miles and miles is chickens slowly coming toward him. They're not just regular chickens, they're undead chickens, which is the key factor of the game. It's just typical first-person shooter affair, craftable items. You know, if you kill a certain amount of chickens, you can craft their bones into a specific additional weaponry. I like the idea of having a chicken bone bayonet. Have that little attachment. I'm trying to think what else this game could possibly have and is amazing features. There'll be a multiplayer mode where you play it as the chickens.
Oh, there's your time up, I'm afraid. I'll play that. Sounds fun. Zombie chickens.
As much as a fight as regular zombies, though, I don't think.
No, not quite as big or as menacing.
What if they were like mutant zombie chickens?
Oh, mutant zombies. Well, that'd be a whole different bucket of fish, wouldn't it?
Like 6 foot plus.
Like that, remember the South Park game on the PS1?
Yes.
Oh, with the turkey.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Like that, with chickens.
Yeah.
Basically the same game. Alright, Lewis, you ready?
Yeah.
That would actually probably make the South Park game better. You know? Maybe that would. You know, that's the thing that people didn't like about it. You know, I just can't get behind turkeys. Maybe chickens, though.
Let's get a remastered version in the works.
Okay.
All right, Lewis, your first and only name game this week, your name game, is Kermit Love Island.
Kermit Love Island.
Yeah.
Okay, Kermit's so this is like The Bachelor. So the American TV show, like The Bachelor, where you have to basically woo Kermit Frog. Your many of the other Muppets, you can pick which one, male or female. He doesn't discriminate. Yeah. You basically just have to get the rose from Kermit.
Right.
And you play different rounds. It gets increasingly difficult as people are expelled from the island, possibly into shark-infested waters. I don't know. But we'll sort out the finer details later on. It's probably going to be for the PC, so it's largely...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's going to be a bit point and click, but yeah. So, yeah, if you win, you get a blurred over or implied sex scene with Kermit the Frog.
Oh, your time came just too late then for you to stop that sentence.
So, yeah, that is Kermit.
What does Miss Piggy have to say about all this?
Oh, she's a contestant.
Oh. Well, you could throughout the course of this game, then, you could break her little piggy heart.
You could.
I was imagining a Mario Party-style game. Like, a series of mini-games to win Kermit's affections. I don't know, maybe that's just me. It definitely is just me. Elf, right.
Let's fucking do that.
Are you ready?
As I'll ever be, okay. For unplanned things.
Here we go. Your game name is The Psychedelic 3D Adventure.
Okay, so what happens is you get the game, and inside the game, inside the case, there is a packet of random hallucinogenics. You must take the hallucinogenics to play the game. It's you know, you just got to do it. So this is going to be an 18 game, and this is going to be for the Xbox. It's going to be a first-person shooter where you have to go around, you have to deal with your own psychoses. That's why it's psychedelic. You're going to learn stuff about yourself. So basically, it doesn't even matter what we program into this game, because you're going to see shit anyway. Which is why it's such a great experience, because it's a very individually catered game. Because no one gaming session is ever the same.
Sounds
and
brilliant.
No two of you will ever see the same things. So yeah, you've got to go around, you've got to fight your demons, which actually managed to turn up as grey blobs, but you wouldn't know the difference. You must walk down multiple corridors with multiple doors, and you must find your way out of this place.
You're out of time, but yes, excellent. I'm not sure we'll get that one actually released. That may get blocked on the way.
Damn it!
Fine.
Shh.
It'd be very cheap to make, though. Like you say, just put some grey blobs on the screen. You're away.
Development costs are next to nothing.
Yeah.
But the cost of all the acid is going to be what makes it skyrocket.
That's like the development costs, you know.
Also, you've then got like DLC purchases, so you can buy stronger types of acid. So you start off with something fairly low key, and then you can kind of build on that until you're on like full blown. I don't know what the most hardcore type of hallucinogenic is, but yeah, until you could level up. Yeah, there you go. It's also got an RPG element to it.
Yeah, it could be whatever your brain wants it to be on drugs.
Drugs. All right, cool. Let's do some community questions then. Lewis, do you want to take our first one?
Yes, this is from Katie Stubbs, probably one of
Woo!
Our, like, up there in the top five biggest fans of Ready Player 2.
Yeah, she's overtaken a lot of you, so help me game. Yeah, the rest of you.
Yeah. She says, this is from Twitter, by the way. She says, if you could be one video game character for a day, who would you choose to be and why? Put on close parentheses.
Very detailed. I would be Princess Peach, and I'd try and make it an entire day without being kidnapped. It can't be that difficult, can it?
Bitchy. So bitchy.
Just lock yourself in a room.
Yeah, it can't be that hard.
No.
I wouldn't have thought. No. That's just me.
Hell.
I think I would probably want to be
someone who knows Garrus.
Actually, I was going to say Dante, because, come on, if I could be that much of a dick in real life, that would be amazing. Just wander around me like, I'm a douchebag, what of it? Ladies love me!
Look at my guns.
Look at my guns! I'm going to eat the strawberry sundae. And just, you know, revel.
Revel in your dickishness.
Oh, yeah.
I've been rich for a whole day. You won't listen.
What have you eaten today?
Bitchy pills.
Bitch pal.
Okay, what about you then, Billy?
I think I'd take Joel from The Last of Us, but before the game starts. everything's just fine for him. He's just got a nice life, you know.
Yeah.
I think I'd like that.
Like
once the magic takes place, nah, I don't think I want to be Joel no more.
What about you, Lewis?
I would be, because I can't think of anything else, probably Bowser, just to try and kidnap Ross.
Yeah! I'll stand there in the background and be like,
everything in my power to kidnap it.
It'd be a good day. For me and you, anyway.
It would be.
Not for the Mario Kingdom.
No, I'd be flying my big, flying boat ship thing with the cannons and all the minions. Yeah, bitches, get some, Toad Fox. Yeah, and it'd be a good day, just wreaking havoc in the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah. All right, our next question is from Psych Tyson at Psych Tyson on Twitter. What was the game that made you all know that gaming was the thing for you? That doesn't scan very well, but that's the question. What game got you into gaming, basically? Elle, start with you.
Probably MechWarriors 3, because the thrill when you just explode other people up is great.
Okay.
It was then I knew that I wanted to take over the world and live in a giant robot. But I can't do that in real life, so, you know, you've got to live your dreams through games.
Maybe one day. Technology.
When Al is the robot riding overlord of the world.
Yes, my robot minions!
All of our Ellie beings behind them.
Being a dick, rather. Not Billy Dick. Being a dick. Sorry, Billy. It's because I was reading your name. Hi, welcome to the podcast. You're a dick. Elle just being a dick in a giant robot with all of it, as Ross said, with all of the Ellie beans behind her.
And I love my Ellie beans.
The first game that got me into gaming was really probably Alex the Kid. Everyone remember that? On the Master System?
Yeah.
God, I played that for a lot of time. Pretty much entire summer holidays. Just in front of a TV, not outdoors. Never outdoors. Billy, what about you?
The first game I ever played is still one of my favourite games of all time, which is Sonic the Hedgehog 2 on the Sega Mega Drive.
Excellent.
That was the first game I ever played, and I was just I was completely amazed by it. You know, when you look back now, you know, it's nothing special really, but back then it was just so incredible. I instantly fell in love with it.
Excellent. And Lewis?
I think the first game I played was probably Duck Hunt on whatever insane system that was. But the first game that got me into gaming was actually Duke Nukem.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I played when I was about 14 or 15 on some cheap-ass second-hand PC that my dad got me for doing college and schoolwork. Well, not schoolwork on. I was like, holy shit, what is this? This is amazing. and that's when I was like, yes, I want to play video games.
You were very much the target audience as well, 14.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, boobs and just...
ripping heads off and shitting down things. Necks.
Yeah. It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Excellent. All right. Billy, you've got a question for us from someone?
Yes, I do. Let me have a look. This is from Colin Sowerby. If there was the book, now there is the film, how would we make a game of 50 Shades of Grey, and what would it be like?
Shit, that's what it would be like.
It would be abuse. Oh, really? My God. You would just, like, open the game box and be a fist that just jumps out and just punches you. You fucking stupid bastard. Why did you buy this?
And that's what the game would be.
There we go.
Yeah, I imagine some sections would be like, have you played the Grasshopper manufactured game, Killer is Dead?
Yes.
Ooh.
Where it's got those sections where you just have to just look at women in a bar. I could just play like that, but it'd be a lot more horrific.
Yeah, much more. Yeah, it'd basically be the worst game ever, Colin. That's what it would be like.
How dare you bring this filth to the table, Colin?
It would be even worse than the Badger Builder game.
Callback, inside joke.
Colin.
Let's move along quickly before Al gets even more angry. Al, give us a question.
Okay, Clarky, hello! He asks, do you think DayZ should concentrate efforts on stabilising or making better the PC version instead of making a PlayStation 4 port?
Yes.
The answer to that is yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I disagree. I think they should bring it to the target audience and work on stabilising the PC version in the background.
Fair enough, you want the best of both worlds.
Yeah. No. Everyone wins.
Say again, Billy.
No.
I just don't think that they should be bringing out things to another console if the product they've already made is full of bugs and errors and barely works.
Yeah. Having played the mod, that's fairly stable anyway. It's a bit of a faff to set up on the PC. I can't say I know what the standalone is like, but if it's anything like the mod for Arma 2, I think it's pretty much already there. Every game gets continual updates, so I think stabilization and just making the game better on PC while releasing a PC port, a PS4 port, is the right way to go. I mean, look at Minecraft, for instance. All right, it's not quite the same, but Minecraft was stable, but it was still buggy as fuck when they released it on the Xbox. I think that they should do both at the same time.
Fair enough.
And that's my standpoint on it, and I'm fucking sticking to it.
All right, Lewis, give us a question from Facebook.
Right, Michael Robinson from Facebook asks, do you think the future of gaming is digital? He's got a second question, which is, who won Gamescom for you and what part stood out for each of you?
We all won Gamescom because there's more games.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think.
There was nothing particularly standout from Gamescom. For me,
Are you blowing your nose then, or was that a point you wanted to make?
No, that was like, oh my god, that's something that I really want coming out.
I think the future of gaming is digital. I would probably go almost entirely digital if the pricing for digital games weren't the same, if not more, for physical copies, and the hardware, for the most part, could cope with the size of the games that are being released. So,
yeah.
I think it's certainly going to be going there at some point. I think it's going to be a couple of years. But I think that's an inevitability that it'll be going that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think personally, I'd quite like to go... I would go almost entirely digital if I could. I would probably get rid of all my DVDs, all my Blu-rays, my games, even down to, like, maybe not comic books, but certainly normal books. And I would go entirely digital, because it would just save on so much space.
Yeah.
I wouldn't need half the space that I take up with comic books and games and DVDs and stuff like that, so...
I agree, but I do love having that physical media. Opening a game box and putting a game to a computer it makes me happy. I don't know why.
It's a fact.
I miss the fucking massive cardboard boxes you used to get games in.
Mm.
I'm sorry, but how kingly did you feel? I am going to look at this tome and take out my game and put in my computer.
Game manual as well. You get like a one piece of paper inside a game box now.
It's because it's all included on the disc or on the digital copy that you've already got.
It's true.
I want to spill coffee on mine, make it feel low.
Most of my games for the PS3 are almost entirely digital. I've got maybe 10 physical copies of games, and that's about it. And they were all bought secondhand anyway, so...
It is the future. I can't disagree. It's not going to not happen, but personally, I like having that stuff. And yeah, I do agree with your point about it just taking up so much space, though. Like, we had to buy a new TV unit just to have enough storage space to put games and DVDs around it.
We've had to buy, like, umpteen bookcases and shit just to put my books, my DVDs, Hazel's books, Hazel's DVDs. I mean, it's lucky that we don't own a shit ton of CDs.
Yeah.
We both use, like, Spotify. So, yeah.
Yeah, thankfully CDs and music went digital early, and it's worked well since. So.
Yeah.
Okay, we have another question. This one's pretty much aimed at you, Billy. It's from Craig Clark, C. Clark 85. It's a wrestling question. Do you think young Stephanie was really giving old Randy Savage one? And, what do you think? Do you think that's the reason that Savage isn't in the Hall of Fame?
Do you know if you have a large wrestling audience who would understand this question?
We have a few listeners that know wrestling.
We've got
For everyone else who's lost, I feel your pain.
We have a couple of listeners, so don't go into too much depth.
Well, if anyone doesn't know, apparently the reason why Randy Savage left the company, left the WWF, is because he was having sex with Vince McMahon's daughter.
Very young daughter at this one.
Very young daughter. I personally don't think there's much credence to this. I really don't. I don't believe that this happened.
No.
I believe that, I know for sure, but there's definitely some bad blood between, there was bad blood between Randy and Vince.
Mm.
But I don't think that it was because Randy was having sex with his daughter.
No, it would have come out by now, wouldn't it? All this time.
Yeah.
You don't keep things secret for that long.
Of people, you know, with people coming out and saying, you know, about abuse that he had, because it would have even if it was consensual, it would have been classed as abuse because of her age. I think Stephanie herself would have come out at a point and said, this happened to me. And that just me sort of makes me think, I don't think it really happened.
Yep, I agree with you. And his follow-up question is, and what's your favourite wrestling game? No Mercy on the N64 for me.
Because I haven't played many wrestling games, I've been inclined to say some of the more recent ones, like 2K14. But when we did our 24-hour video game marathon, I think No Mercy was the game that I had the most fun with, because it was a completely new experience for me.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to experience that now as a new thing.
yeah, it was really interesting, completely different, and a lot more intuitive than the games today. But really, really enjoyed No Mercy, so I think I'd have to go for that.
Lewis, you've played a few wrestling games.
Yeah, I couldn't fucking remember the name of it, and I'm still not 100% certain if it is the game that I'm thinking of, but it was either WWF In the House or WWF WrestleMania, the arcade port onto the PS1. I can't remember which one it is, but it was one of those. It was pretty insane, and it was one of the first wrestling games that I played.
I know which one you mean. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it either. I'll find out later for you and let you know.
Sweet.
El, what's your favourite wrestling game?
Yes.
And that pretty much sums up the extent of El's wrestling knowledge.
All right, Billy, you got another question for us?
Yes, it's from Simon Marshall. With Airtight Games closing after the release of Murdered Soul Suspect, do you think the time has passed for mediocre developers?
No, because they still keep churning out shite games.
Who's going to make CSI games?
Steam.
The bigger studios can afford to release a shit game every now and then.
Yeah.
But you should know better. You know, as a game developer, you should know that even if you've got the rose-tinted glasses of "I made this game, I'm really proud of it," you must know it's shit.
Yeah.
Not only that, but you must.
Especially when I first saw the trailers to that, I was like, "This game's going to be great." But the reviews came up, and they should know better.
Mm. Yeah, the review scores for it were terrible. Really, that one in particular, Murdered Soul Suspect, 5s and 6s, which is not really what you want from the first game in a while to be released on next-gen console on Xbox One.
No, the other thing is as a developer, you've got to know your target audience, and you know that if people are going to vote with their wallets, so if your game is shit and getting shit reviews, then people aren't going to buy it, you're not going to be able to make another game. So, fuck's sake, you could play Game Dev Tycoon and know that.
Yeah.
It's a lesson we all learn.
Yeah, it's... I just don't understand why people would be happy putting out... Especially smaller companies with maybe it's their first IP or kind of a follow-up game, you know that you've got to put out something special, especially if it's your first IP. So, yeah, they should know that people will gamers will absolutely crucify them if their game is shit. So
I think it's even a case for not just mediocre developers, but big developers like THQ went to the wall year before last, or maybe even last year. And
yeah,
massive gaming franchise of developers that some really good games, all the 2K or the old wrestling games, and what else did they do? They did Saints Row as well, I think.
Yeah, Saints Row.
FC's license.
Yeah.
Oh crap. The Warhammer license.
Yeah, all very big titles, but they're a massive company and they weren't putting out the games and they went to the wall. And
yeah.
Unless you're EA or Activision or Ubisoft, it seems, that's it. You that seems to be your goal for a smaller developer, is to get bought by a big time one.
Exactly. And I mean, look at Activision. They released, what was it? Colonial Space Marines.
Mm.
And they're now in a court battle with Sega because the game didn't stand up to what the game was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I love that's happening.
And to the point where they're actually, a lot of the money that's being recovered is going to people who bought the game to repay them for buying it.
Yeah, it's a brilliant thing.
It's just, if you put out a shit game, you're gonna get shafted.
Yeah, there's no two ways around it. People, like I say, they vote with their wallets. It's just as simple as that.
So,
I don't know. El, move us on to our final question of the day.
That's from Charles. Does games resolution, 90fps or 1080p or whatever, really make a difference to you? And how do you feel about timed exclusives for a specific platform? A, no, I don't really care what a game looks like so much. I'm not a looks person. I'm a what's inside that counts person.
I think we're like, the wrong people to ask about this, aren't we?
I don't know. Like, I'm... Yeah, if a game's pretty, great. Fantastic. I'm practically blind. So everything comes out slightly blurry anyway.
She HD... really is. When we were at Eurogamer, she was just squinting at people and...
Who the fuck is that?
Talking to other people, thinking it was us. And
I was talking to a tree. How was I to know that wasn't wrong? You know? How do I feel about timed exclusives for a specific platform? I don't care.
Is this also to do with the... Is it a new Tomb Raider game?
Yeah.
What's the point? What is the point?
Mm.
I mean, I suppose it's good for a platform, apart from I really don't understand why a time rule would be great. If it was completely exclusive, I can understand how they'd like that, because it perhaps might draw a little more people to actually buy the console. But it's worse off for the developers, because then the developers only get to sell their game to a specific console's market, which fucking drastically drops it for them. So they get, like, much less revenue. I don't understand it. I don't understand their reasonings.
They do get paid for the exclusivity. Exclusivity?
Yeah,
is that even a word?
That sounds right.
The exclusiveness.
They do get paid for the exclusivity rights for that game being on either a console first or for it being on that console non-stop or all the time.
Yeah.
Completely exclusive for that platform. Sorry?
Would that equate to the right amount of not releasing your product to everyone?
Probably not. I mean, it's a really strange thing for, I think it's Square Enix to do, because that Tomb Raider actually sold more units on the PlayStation and on the PS4 than did on the 360 or the One. So, I mean, it seems like an odd way to go, but, I mean, maybe they're trying to get it so it balances out with the new game, so more people buy it on the Xbox One if they've got both platforms, and then everyone else can buy it on the PlayStation, but, I don't know, it strikes me as being a bit odd. It's an odd decision to make.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about Nintendo and how they're losing money hand over fist. They could lease out Nintendo Mario Galaxy to Xbox or PlayStation and make a shit ton of money, but they don't care.
Oh yeah,
they'd rather just have their own platform specific games.
But as they proved, exclusivity for their IPs doesn't sell consoles for them. They didn't sell anywhere near as many Wii U's with the release of Mario Kart 8 as they were expecting to the point where they made a loss.
Yeah.
So it's an odd decision exclusivity is an odd decision, but I can kind of see why they would do it.
Mm.
More so in Nintendo's case than like Squeenix.
As for the game's resolution thing, I've just started playing Minecraft. And I've got an Xbox One, I don't really care about the 1080p's or whatever.
No, yeah. Again, I don't really care about frames per second or resolution. It doesn't bother me.
No.
Like, I'll play a little game on my phone, or I'll play a big, like, Destiny or The Last of Us on my PS3. So, I mean, yeah. It's all about gameplay, the key word being game.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think, Billy?
I'm with you guys. You know, some of my favourite games are of the 16-bit era.
Yeah.
So, and I still enjoy the graphics of them, but ultimately, I love those games because of the gameplay.
Mm.
I enjoy playing them. If a game is somewhat ugly to look at, doesn't really matter to me, you know, as long as the gameplay is you know, decent or trying to do something new, anything like that, I'll be so much more willing to put my money toward that product than just saying, oh, look at this game. It's really good looking, and you know, it runs at such and such frames per second. You know, it's full HD. But I don't care. It showed me some gameplay. You know.
Yeah, it's boring as hell, but it looks pretty.
Yeah. I mean, just as an aside to that, just hearing Billy talking about 16-bit games. Now, I can't go back. I did try and play Shadow of the Colossus and Ico just recently, but I can't go because they've still got PS2 graphics. I couldn't then go back and play those games and enjoy them on the big screen because it felt like a step backwards. So for instance, I don't like older games, I don't like retro game, that's a bit of a generalization, but I don't like retro games. So it just, in that respect, yes, it does matter to me because I can't play something that looks as pretty as The Last of Us or Destiny, which at the moment they are the pinnacle of graphics on the PS3. I couldn't then go back and play something like Bomberman or Mega Man on the PS3 because it just seems like a waste of power. And like, this game has been released for, is an old game for a reason, because you didn't have the power to run these sorts of kind of high def games. So
yeah.
That's just me being a kind of backwards graphics snob, not liking retro games.
Yeah, I sometimes actually quite like retro games though. I'm really, really in with nostalgia. So I'll always there like, oh my god, I love this game, play it and then relive all my dreams.
Well, you're not one of them damn hipsters like Lewis though, are you? Alright, so let's bring an end to this week's podcast.
No.
As is custom with guests, we give them a chance to plug their wares. Billy, take it away. Where can people find you on the internet? Where can they find your podcasts and Twitter, etc., etc.?
Well, if you are a wrestling fan and enjoy the wrestling era known as the Attitude Era, which was roughly between 1998 about on, the podcast that I'm on might just be for you, where the Attitude Era cast. You can find us on iTunes, on SoundCloud, and on Stitcher. You can also find us on Twitter, at AE Podcast. We've also got some wares to peddle. If you go to selfie.com/AE Podcast, we have got two commentary tracks for wrestling films on there. We've got Beyond the Mat, which is an amazing documentary.
Yes.
And we've also got Wrestling with Shadows, which is a great documentary about Bret Hart. And we've also got a brand new t-shirt, which is available at squaredcircle.biz, which is it's a great t-shirt. It's just got a bunch of quotes from the podcast. So if you like some of the things that Adam, Kevin and I come out with on the podcast, I think there is, for fuck's sake, written in big red letters. That seems to be our podcast. Yeah, that's all I've got really to say about it. You can follow me on Twitter, at AE Podcast. You can also add me on the PSN if anyone's interested. I'm Key Billy. That's KEABILLY. So yeah, feel free to add me on there if you want to play some games. I'll be about. I think that's about it.
Excellent. When's your next podcast due?
Next podcast is, I'm not sure. Release dates are tricky for us to our schedule, so hectic at times.
Much to my annoyance.
I know. It's still unsure when one's coming out, but we should be having I think our next episode in the timeline's WrestleMania.
I can't wait.
WrestleMania 2000, and then we've also got a fan vote bonus episode coming your way as well.
Oh, excellent.
And I think you can still vote for that on our Facebook page.
There you go.
We'll go over that and do that.
Thank you very much.
I know.
L.
Yes?
What do you want to plug or say right now? I'm not as smooth as this as Rich is, clearly.
I don't really have anything to plug. You know where to find me. So I'm going to give you a random fact. In 1770, the British Parliament banned lipstick, saying it had the power to seduce men into marriage, which was classified as witchcraft.
Did you just make that up on the spot?
No.
Did you? I'll be honest.
She's a witch.
She's a witch.
Actually, I'm going to Google this now.
So you did make it
yeah!
up.
Yeah! Yeah, it is real. Fuck yeah. Where is it? In 1770, a British law was proposed to the Parliament that a marriage should be annulled if the woman wore cosmetics before her wedding day. Yeah!
Fair enough.
Practically the same.
And for more of those sort of interesting facts, where can people find you on the internet?
On the internet! I go by Escape... I'm just like, everywhere? Escaping IRL. Occasionally I'll come online, but I'm kind of like one of those hedgehog things where it kind of sleeps, and you really want it to come out in the day when you're awake, but it just doesn't work like that. But occasionally you'll see me come out of my den and stretch, like, for a short amount of time, and then I'll just fuck off again. That's basically my life online.
Fair enough.
Like one of those hedgehog things. You mean a hedgehog? Or a porcupine.
Like one of those hedgehog things.
Or like a chinchilla. That's more me.
I don't know. I think we'll stick with hedgehog.
No!
Well, if anyone wants to make an image there of Elle's face on a chinchilla or a hedgehog, feel free. Send that to us at ReadyP2 on Twitter. Lewis, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Louis_Kong or on Facebook, which is Facebook/LouisKong. I'm still iLewis87 on everything else, unfortunately.
Is that gaming one?
Yeah, so on the PS3 or PSN and on the Wii U.
Excellent, thank you very much. Let's plug some of our stuff, shall we? We have a website, which is readyplayer2.co.uk, and on that website there is a store where you can go and buy some of the most gorgeous t-shirts you'll ever see. We've got a new t-shirt. I say new, it's a couple of weeks old now, but Lewis, you got yours this week, did you?
I did.
RPF2.
Yeah, I've worn it every day for the last, pretty much since I got it.
They're very nice, aren't they?
They are very nice.
Very nice.
I must say, I've just had a look and they are very nice.
They're all designed by our own in-house team. The man that's not here at the minute is away on his holiday. Yeah, you can go and buy them. Those ones, our newest ones, are our cheapest price t-shirts ever. Still not massively cheap, but go and buy one anyway. We need your pence to help us fund this podcast. Yeah, website, there's a forum on there, which is massively unloved. So go in there and write some things.
Love it.
Write some things. We have articles on the website occasionally, when Elle can find some new underlings to write for her.
And also time. If anyone can send me time, I would love time. You know, post Ready Player 2 headquarters. That's great.
Yeah. PO Box, RP2, something. Oh, yeah. Something like that. I don't know.
Don't send anything to that PO box, because we'll never get it.
Yeah, we don't know where they are. So that's readyplayer2.co.uk and readyplayer2.spreadshirt.co.uk, or click on the store tab on the website page. We are Twitter at ReadyP2. We're on Facebook as ReadyPlayer2, I believe. That may be wrong.
Yeah.
Just Google it.
I think so. Let me check. Yeah, ReadyPlayer2.
Excellent. You follow me on Twitter at RossBell1984 or my other podcast at Man on the Post, which is a weekly football podcast. And our first podcast is due to drop on Monday because the season, well, controversially, the Premier League season starts this week. The Football League season started last week. So make that what you will. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time when, presuming, Rich will return to the host chair if he's allowed out of France.
And I'll be away.
What?
Because I'm going to the land of wine too.
Oh my god, what's going on? We're getting cultured on this podcast. I don't like it.
2 weeks' time. Oh, I'll be on holiday, so I'll probably be drunk.
Yeah!
So join me, a drunk Lewis, Rich talking French, and someone replacing Elle for our next podcast. I'd like to thank Billy once again. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hope you've had fun.
Yeah, I certainly have.
Good. Talking some video games for a change, not just wrestling.
Yes.
And so, until we return, it's goodbye from me. It's goodbye from Elle. Goodbye from Billy.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from Lewis.
Welcome to the Ready Player 2 podcast.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Edit.
I was looking, I was reading the Robin Williams one, I'm sorry.
Come on, woman.
I was looking at the sads, okay?
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.